All right, everyone, welcome back. We are ready to jump into another deep dive. This time, we're tackling the story of Elisha and the Syrian army.
A classic.
It is. And we're going to be looking at it through this really interesting lens of open eyes from 2 Kings, chapters 5 and 6.
Yeah, and it's going to be cool to see how that theme kind of plays out through the narrative, because it's not just about, like, physical sight.
Right.
It's really about spiritual insight.
Right. Seeing the unseen.
Exactly. Yeah. Understanding a reality that's maybe a little bit beyond our limited human perception.
I think one of the things that is so cool about the story is how it blends these very ordinary human experiences with the extraordinary.
I agree.
So you've got, like, you know, a king who's worried about spies.
Yeah.
You've got a servant who's, like, terrified of soldiers.
Right.
Those are things that I think we can all relate to on some level.
Yeah, totally.
But then all of a sudden you've got angels
entering
the scene.
And that's where it kind of takes it to a whole other level.
Yeah, it does. It really raises the stakes.
Yeah, for sure. And it really emphasizes, I think, the role of Elisha in this story.
Mm.
Because he is very clearly marked out as someone special. The text even refers to him as a man of God, not just a prophet.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't really thought about that distinction before. So what do you think is the significance of that title, man of God?
Yeah, I think it really emphasizes his deep connection to God's will and purpose.
Right.
So he's not just someone who can, like, you know, predict the future or you know, speak on behalf of God in that kind of limited sense.
Right, right.
This title suggests that he's actually directly plugged into God's plan, which then, you know, that kind of sets the stage for understanding, you know, everything he does in this story.
So it's not just information he's getting.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's operating on this divine intuition.
I think that's a great way to put it. Yeah.
And you see this playing out right from the start, right? Because
yeah.
You've got the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad.
Mm.
He's trying to launch these surprise attacks on Israel. But every single time, his plans are foiled.
He's getting very frustrated.
Yeah. And he's convinced there's a spy in his midst.
Right. Totally.
But the truth is much more interesting.
Exactly. He's thinking on a purely human level. He's looking for a logical explanation.
Right.
But Elisha, you know, through his connection with God, he's privy to, you know, something beyond that human intelligence.
So, okay, imagine you are Elisha's servant.
Okay.
You wake up one morning and there's this massive Syrian army.
Uh-oh.
Surrounding your city. I don't know about you, but I would be freaking out.
I mean, I would be panicking, yeah.
And the text really captures the servant's fear. You know, it's a very visceral reaction to a very real threat.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's like our kind of natural instinct. When we feel trapped or outnumbered, it's like, ah.
Yeah, fight or flight kicks in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But then Elisha says to his servant, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.
No, he's obviously not talking about just physical numbers here, right?
Right.
This feels like it's going so much deeper.
Yeah, this is, I think this is really the pivotal moment in the story.
Okay.
Because, you know, he is pointing to that deeper reality that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
He's talking about the unseen forces at play, this spiritual dimension that we often don't see, don't have access to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a statement about faith,
yeah.
Right? It's about trusting that even when things look terrifying, God's power is on your side.
He's basically saying, look beyond what your eyes are showing you. There's a bigger picture here.
Yes.
I'm guessing the servant needs a little more convincing than that.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Right. Like, seeing is believing, as they say.
Right.
And that's exactly what Elisha does next. He prays for his servant's eyes to be opened.
And what happens? What does he see?
He sees an entire army of angels surrounding the Syrians. So, you know, just that this vast, powerful force that completely dwarfs the visible threat. Can you imagine, like, that shift in perspective, that sudden realization that you're not alone, that mm-hmm. you are surrounded by this, like, divine protection?
That's got to be mind-blowing.
Yeah, that's got to be incredible.
Talk about a reality check.
Absolutely.
But I'm also curious about, like, what this means for us,
yeah.
You know? Why would God open our eyes to this spiritual reality in the first place?
That's a great question. And I think at its core, it has to do with trust and perspective.
Right.
It's about recognizing that there's more to life than just what we can see and touch.
Mm.
You know, there are these forces at work that are often beyond our comprehension.
It makes you wonder, what would our lives look like if we could see those forces, those angels, all the time?
It's a fascinating thought. And that's actually something that we're gonna unpack as we dive deeper into this story.
Yeah, it really does make you think about how differently we would live, you know, if we could see that reality all the time.
It's such a fascinating question, right? Maybe a little bit scary, too, to be honest.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, who knows what we'd see? Right. Exactly. But for now, let's get back to Elisha and his servant.
Yeah.
Right. They're there. They're surrounded by this angelic army. And the Syrians are totally oblivious. What happens next?
Okay, so Elisha, he doesn't stop there.
Yeah.
He actually takes things a step further. And it's a pretty bold move. I mean, some might even say risky.
Mm.
But he strikes the entire Syrian army with blindness.
Whoa, seriously?
Yeah, and then he leads them straight into Samaria.
Hold on, Samaria, that's the capital of Israel, right? He leads them into the heart of enemy territory.
Exactly. Straight into the lion's den. And this, you know, this really speaks to the depth of Elisha's faith, right? I mean, he's not just like acting on impulse here.
Yeah.
He knows that God is guiding his actions.
Mm.
And he's willing to follow that guidance, even when it seems, you know, completely counterintuitive or dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, talk about trusting in the unseen.
Totally. Yeah.
So now you've got this really interesting situation, right? You have the king of Israel, and he's presented with this, like, seemingly easy victory. I mean, a whole army of blind enemies right there in his city. So what's his first instinct?
Well, you know, his immediate reaction, very human reaction, I'd say, is let's kill them all.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, right. He sees them as this threat,
mm-hmm.
you know, an opportunity to just crush his enemies.
Makes sense. Yeah.
But Elisha, he steps in and he offers this completely different perspective.
He's like, whoa, 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 hold on a minute. Let's not jump to violence here.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, put down the swords.
Yeah.
You know, instead of revenge, instead of retribution, he suggests this really radical act of mercy. He says, no, we're going to feed them. We're going to give them water. And then we're going to send them back home unharmed.
Wow. Okay. So that is a powerful contrast. You know, you've got the king who's representing this, you know, very human desire for revenge.
Right.
And then you've got Elisha who's embodying, like, God's grace and forgiveness.
It's a beautiful illustration, I think, of the difference between human justice and divine mercy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, human justice, it often focuses on punishment, you know?
Yeah.
Like getting even.
An eye for an eye.
Yeah, exactly. But divine mercy, it's about offering this chance for redemption, for transformation.
So I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of those Syrian soldiers, right? They show up to attack, they get struck blind, and then they end up being treated with, like, kindness and generosity by their enemies.
Yeah.
That's got to be a mind-blowing experience.
Absolutely. It speaks to the power of, like, unexpected grace, right?
Yeah.
To soften hearts, to change perspectives. It challenges our assumptions about who deserves kindness and who deserves punishment.
It really does make you think, but this whole episode, it raises this really big question for me.
Okay.
Why does God even open our eyes to the spiritual reality in the first place?
That's a great question.
I mean, sometimes what we see, it can be painful, even terrifying, like in this case, you know. The servant, initially, he sees this massive threat.
Yeah, that's true. And it's definitely something that people wrestle with, right? I mean, you know, why would God allow us to see things that cause us pain or fear?
Right.
And if we look at the source material, what it suggests is that God doesn't open our eyes to shame us, you know, or to make us feel inadequate.
Right.
It's more about revealing our need for him.
Yeah.
Showing us that we can't do it all on our own.
It's like admitting you need help, which can be really hard.
Yeah. It could be so hard.
Yeah.
But it's often like the first step to actually receiving help.
Right. You got to admit there's a problem before you can fix it.
Exactly. And so acknowledging our weaknesses, our limitations, it allows us to actually lean into God's strength, you know, and his guidance. It shifts our focus from, you know, fear and self-reliance to faith and trust.
It's like, you know, those moments when you're struggling with a problem.
Yeah.
And then it kind of hits you. Wait a minute. I don't have to do this alone. God is with me. And there's this sense of relief of being seen and supported, even in the midst of difficulty.
Yeah, it's a really comforting thought, you know, knowing that we're not alone in those tough times. But I got to admit, that idea of needing help, of needing to rely on something or someone beyond ourselves, it's, well, it can be a little tough to swallow sometimes.
Absolutely. It definitely challenges, like, you know, our pride and our sense of independence. But I think that's part of what the story of Elisha and the Syrian army is trying to teach us, you know?
Sure.
It's about surrendering control, acknowledging that there's this bigger picture at play, and trusting that God is working even when we can't see it, even when we don't understand it.
So it's less about, like, literally seeing the angels all the time.
Right.
And more about recognizing that there's this spiritual reality that we're a part of, whether we're, you know, fully aware of it or not.
Yeah. And that awareness, that changes how we approach Well, really, everything. Our challenges, our relationships, even just, you know, our everyday lives.
Absolutely. It's like this fundamental shift in perspective. We move from this place of fear and limitation to a place of faith and possibility.
So, okay, we've explored this amazing story. We've unpacked this whole idea of opened eyes. We've talked about the power of trusting in a reality beyond what we can see, you know? But what does it all mean for us here and now? Like, what are we supposed to walk away with from all this?
I think for me, it's an invitation. You know, it's an invitation to ask God to open our eyes, not just to the dangers and the challenges, but also to his presence and his provision in our lives.
Yeah.
To see those moments of grace, those unexpected blessings, those times when things work out in ways that we just couldn't have like orchestrated on our own.
So it's not about ignoring the hard stuff, the problems, the things that scare us.
Right.
It's more about choosing to see those things in light of this larger reality, the spiritual reality.
Exactly. And that changes everything. It impacts how we face difficulties, how we treat others, even how we understand our own purpose.
Yeah. It's like we're given this like this new lens through which to view the world. Things might not necessarily be easier, but there's this deeper understanding, this sense of hope and possibility that wouldn't be there otherwise.
Kind of like Elisha's servant, you know, standing there surrounded by this invisible army.
Yeah.
The threat is still real, right? But his perception has changed. And that makes all the difference.
So the next time you're feeling overwhelmed, you know, feeling overwhelmed by the armies in your own life, whatever those might be, remember Elisha and his servant. Remember that there's this spiritual reality at play that's far greater than any physical threat that we might face.
And don't be afraid to ask God to open your eyes.
Yeah.
You might be amazed by what you see.
That's a great place to leave it. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the story of Elisha and the Syrian army. And remember, there's always more to see. Until next time.